Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 17th of December, 2025, a Wednesday. A church on Billings' West End spent the afternoon washing away an act of vandalism from the weekend. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports.
A pressure washer clears graffiti remover off a building wall at Mayflower Congregational Church. Pastor Amy Carter says on Saturday, staff discovered swastikas and a homophobic slur sprayed in red across the wall.
You know, when you see something like that, you feel very vulnerable. I still feel that way.
Carter says the church is inclusive and welcoming to members of the LGBTQ+ community, and the vandalism follows another incident the week before where a rainbow flag was torn off the building.
It just proves to me the need and the necessity of a church like ours in this community.
She says people in Billings and beyond quickly reached out.
And lots of supportive words on Facebook and texts and emails. Yeah, it's been incredible.
The Billings Police Department released a statement Monday condemning the vandalism as a symbol of violence and oppression. They are investigating the source of the graffiti. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
New coal leasing will once again be allowed in northeast Wyoming, the top producing region in the country. But it's unclear if the market is interested. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
President Trump signed the legislation from Wyoming Representative Harriet Hageman last week,
overturning Biden's Wyoming coal ban, thereby undoing one of the most important components of his aggressive war on coal.
The previous land use plan for the Powder River Basin went into effect this time last year. It ended new coal leasing in the region, largely because of the industry's harmful emissions, but it didn't end current coal activity, which is expected to dry up by 2041. Trump's signature on Hageman's bill prevents any future ban on new coal leasing in the region. It also reverts the land use plan to the previous, adopted in 2015, which did allow new leasing. However, it might not change much. There hasn't been a successful sale in the Powder River Basin in over a decade. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Montana State University has been selected as the site of a new patent and trademark office, according to a news release from the university. YPR's Kay Erickson reports.
Bozeman will join Dallas and San Francisco as new homes to community engagement offices for the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, or USPTO, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce announced on Monday. They will be the largest hubs west of the Mississippi in providing trademark and patent service to U.S. innovators. The announcement follows the closure in October of the USPTO's Rocky Mountain Regional Outreach Office in Denver. This new office will serve part of the 8-state area, including Montana, Colorado, Idaho, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming, according to a news release from the university. The engagement office will provide inventors and entrepreneurs with a direct connection to federal intellectual property resources and guidance tailored to the state's technology ecosystem. A news release from Governor Greg Gianforte's office reports the governor wrote a letter in September to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and USPTO Undersecretary John Squires recommending Montana as a possible site. U.S. Senators Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy, as well as the Montana Chamber of Commerce and others, were also advocating for the state. The announcement says Montana was chosen based on the university's robust research activity and many graduate-level programs that lead to innovations and its ability to support all innovators. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
A ballot proposal aimed at simplifying the ballot initiative process is now tied up in court. Montana Public Radio's Shaylee Ragar reports.
Attorney General Austin Knutson blocked the proposal for being legally insufficient, saying it contains too many concepts. Ballot proposals are required to ask only one question of voters at a time. The group behind the initiative, Montanans Decide, says Knutson erred in his analysis and is asking the Montana Supreme Court to overturn the block. S.K. Rossi with the group says there's irony in that lawsuit. The initiative aims to limit hurdles for citizen ballot proposals, like the Attorney General's authority to block them, among other regulations.
That makes these campaigns and makes these efforts incredibly difficult.
If passed, the proposal would amend the Montana Constitution to guarantee the citizen initiative process is free from, quote, unjustified interference by the government, unquote. The bill granting the Attorney General the power to block proposals passed in 2021. It also allows legislative committees to weigh in. The policy has since resulted in many lawsuits where ballot initiative backers challenge Knutson's power in court. The Montana Supreme Court has overruled the Attorney General in most cases. In Helena, I'm Shaylee Rager.
Earlier this year, Congress passed legislation that requires some people on Medicaid to prove they're working or lose health coverage. The state quickly submitted its plan to implement those work requirements, but Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the state will have to wait.
The Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will not consider the state's request. State health officials told lawmakers this week that the state will have to wait for the federal agency to release its own application to implement work requirements. That's expected early next year. Despite the setback, State Health Department Director Charlie Brereton hopes the state can implement the new rules sometime next summer. State health officials estimate nearly 10,000 people will lose Medicaid coverage by 2029 because of work requirements. Outside estimates are much higher, ranging from about 30 to 50,000 people. Those estimates account for Montanans who still qualify, but are unable to keep up with new paperwork. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
A powerful storm system is expected to crash into a wide swath of Montana this week. Another round of heavy precipitation, destructive wind, and widespread power outages are possible, if not likely. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
National Weather Service officials in Missoula say the inbound storm could have more widespread impacts than the one that thrashed Missoula in July of 2024. The entire Northern Rockies is likely to experience wind gusts greater than 50 miles an hour early Wednesday morning through the afternoon. Great Falls, Lewistown, and Helena could get winds of 65 to 75 miles per hour. Cutbank and Browning in north central Montana, a 50% chance of wind speeds of 85 to 90 miles per hour all day Wednesday. These strong winds could damage structures and lead to dangerous driving conditions. They could also knock down trees in already rain-saturated soil, leading to widespread power outages. Officials say repairs to the power grid are extremely difficult, if not impossible, under those conditions. Many regions by the end of the work week will see much cooler temperatures with more rain, snow, or a mix of both. The active weather pattern could potentially last into the beginning of the new year. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
Governor Greg Gianforte is asking President Donald Trump to issue a major disaster declaration over the severe flooding in northwestern Montana. In a letter to President Trump, Gianforte says Lincoln County, Sanders County, and the Blackfeet Nation need federal support. Historic flooding resulting from recent weather events has compromised critical infrastructure. This includes a lack of potable water for Libby residents who are still under a boil advisory. The declaration would bring in assistance from FEMA. The federal agency can provide assistance repairing damaged utilities, roads and bridges, and water treatment facilities. Gianforte urged that federal assistance is essential to support the affected communities. It's been a warm December across much of Montana. With more weird weather in the forecast, Montana Public Radio's Ellis Julin asked climate scientists how winter rains factor into a warming world.
Last week's atmospheric river dropped over a dozen inches of rain across northwest Montana, melting snow and triggering flooding across the region. There aren't songs about dreaming of a rainy Christmas, but December rains are more likely as part of human-caused climate change, says state climatologist Kelsey Jensko.
This is what the future projections and climate modeling portend in terms of changes in our precipitation patterns as well as our temperature patterns.
Jensko says Montanans can expect to see more precipitation as a whole, but more of it coming in these bigger rainfall or snow events. These atmospheric rivers are not a new phenomenon, but they're projected to become more common as greenhouse gas emissions continue to warm the planet.
When we think about that increase in precipitation, there's nothing average about it. These events that are occurring are becoming more extreme in nature. These atmospheric rivers are a great example of that.
But Jensko explains this recent rainfall will help the drought-stricken region.
Some of this precipitation is recharging our soils, our groundwater systems, which here in western Montana, we've desperately needed that. Our last three snowpack years have been pretty dismal.
There's more extreme weather expected this week, with precipitation and high winds in the forecast. In Missoula, I'm Ellis Julin.
The Montana Highway Patrol recently seized over 28 pounds of illegal drugs in a substantial drug bust in St. Regis. The operation led to 51 total arrests, 41 of those were deportation arrests. During the operation, law enforcement seized over 14 pounds of methamphetamine, as well as almost 14 pounds of cocaine. Smaller amounts of marijuana and fentanyl were also seized by law enforcement. The operation was conducted in collaboration with United States Border Patrol, the Mineral County Sheriff's Office, and Air National Guard Counterdrug Aviation. Montana Highway Patrol teams also seized 14 pounds of methamphetamine in Billings in the same time frame. A major redesign of downtown Missoula's traffic flow is moving closer to reality. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports the multi-million dollar project has been in development for more than 15 years.
Missoula City Council members this month voted to draw up final plans for the $25 million Downtown Safety, Access, and Mobility Project. Most of that money is coming from a federal grant. Councilmember Gwen Jones at a meeting said the city has to move forward or it risks letting the funding lapse.
This is a really pivotal project for Missoula. And to get this $24 million grant, we would never, ever be able to pull this kind of money out of our budget to get this type of stuff done.
Officials say the plan is designed to reduce vehicle and bike collisions and improve accessibility to downtown businesses. Front and Main Streets will shift from one-way to two-way traffic. Higgins Avenue will move from four lanes to two, with a left turn lane and bike lanes on either side. The city is also seeking to add ramp access to Bear Tracks Bridge and widen trails along the Clark Fork River. The plan traces its roots back to the city's 2009 downtown master plan. Local taxpayers are chipping in a little more than $1 million for the project. Some councilors voted against moving it forward, citing concerns that it costs too much and won't address issues like stormwater management and parking constraints. The city hopes to get work underway in early 2027. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.